When it comes to setting our New Year's goals, there are some mistakes that go undetected, and yet they can make a huge impact on the success and many times failure of those New Year's goals. Today, we're going to go there. My name is Paul Castain from Castain Training Systems, and I'm the author of the YourSalesPlaybook.com blog and your host for the Sales Playbook Podcast. I've personally trained over 25,000 sales reps, sales leaders, and business owners to sell more. So get your playbooks ready because school is now in session. Okay, so before we begin, I want to let you know that this week's episode of the Sales Playbook Podcast is brought to you by our one-on-one sales coaching program. I'm going to be talking all about it at the end of the podcast, but I think it's time to get right down to business. So this is part two of a three-part series on the things that we tend to forget and we forget to include in those New Year's goals that we're setting. Now, a quick review. We actually started this before part one. So technically, I guess this is a four-part series. The very first thing that I talked about was the importance of getting going now. Like, why wait until January? What makes that so special? So we talked about that. But as far as the three parts go, part one was last week. And we talked about taking an inventory of the skills that are necessary to reach your goals. Very, very important. Today, I want to talk about having a plan, an actual plan to reach the goals that you've set. Now, this is one of the things that we see a lot. I see reps that tell me some awesome goals that they have for the new year. Hey, I want to sell X amount of dollars, bring in X amount of accounts, or X amount of accounts that are doing 3 million plus, or whatever it is. I have a plan next year, or I have a goal next year to be ranked in the top 20, or to make President's Club. Those are wonderful things, but you ready now? Here comes the smartass that you guys, some of you love and some of you hate. Usually, when I hear these things, I want to say to them, amen. Seriously, I want to say amen, because that's what I say at the end of any effing prayer. And half the time when people are telling me what they want to do, it's a glorified prayer. And the reason why it's that way is because there's no action plan to get there. And if you don't have an action plan, if you have a bunch of things you want to do in the new year, then to you, I say amen. And you know what? I mean, it wouldn't be a podcast if I didn't give you just a very quick tangent and a little bit of a rant. Years ago, there was this whole thing, and it's still out there, but it's not as popular as it was, I don't know, probably 2005-ish or whatever, this whole law of attraction thing. I love it, don't get me wrong. And I watched that video several times, like many of you had, and it's great. But my issue with some of the people that are into that whole law of attraction thing is that they're into putting things out there for the universe. And I think that's great. I do think you should put things out there. I think you should have your goals written down. You should be focusing on it. We're going to be talking about some whiteboard stuff I think you should be doing. We're going to talk about that during the podcast today. I think you should have it at the top of your whiteboard. I know people that have some of these things written down right in the mirror, so when they're shaving, and there's even women out there, when they're shaving their face, I'm kidding, but when they're looking in the mirror, there's the goals. I know people that have the goals right on the dashboard of their cars, so that it's in their face and it's out there. Hey, that's all great. But you do understand that the universe doesn't just deliver this shit to you, right? I'm hoping that you understand that you actually have to get off your ass and put in the work. And that's what we're talking about today. So there's a few different plans that I want to suggest that you should include in with your goals. So the first one, maybe a tiny bit of a review from last week, but I think it's worth mentioning. You really have to have a plan to work on the skills that you need to sharpen to make your goals happen. Now, last week I shared a free resource with you. Let me share it again, just in case this is your first venture to my podcast. Or for those of you who listened to my podcast last week and didn't take action, this is going to be your gentle nudge to maybe take some action, because that's what today's all about. So if you visit yoursalesplaybook.com/checklist, there is a free PDF there where I've listed many of the skills and the different characteristics of a sales rock star. There, I believe there's about 80 qualities that we have listed there. You're going to take an honest look in the mirror, rate yourself on a scale from 1 to 10, and then from that list, look at all the ones where either you have just some really poor ratings, and all the ones where, okay, maybe you have a high rating, but you want a higher rating. That is an important thing for you to take inventory of. So that's one of the first things that I want you to do. But also, now you have to think about, okay, well, what kind of action, what's my plan going to be to get better in those areas? I mean, you're going to be reading some blog posts. You're going to be doing podcasts like this one. How about calling a successful rep, either inside of your organization or even outside of your organization? Pick their brain a little bit. You know, God forbid too, forgive me, here goes the sales trainer getting up on his soapbox, pitching his wares. But I mean, God forbid, investing in yourself with books. And I'm going to stop there too. A lot of tangents this week, folks. This is what's, you're in for a lot of these as I get older, just so you know. But I'll never forget, I ran across this one rep, and I've come across others like this person. And we're having a conversation, and he was so pissed off that his boss would not reimburse him if he wanted to buy a sales-related book, right? And I get that. That would annoy me also. I think many of you listening, you might say, wow, that's pretty effing cheap of the company. And by the way, this company that he worked for, billion-dollar company. And he said to me, I can't believe it. I mean, they piss money away and all kinds of things. And they just had a client event that they had dropped, I think, like $3 million. And this guy cannot go and fork over a lousy $20 or $25 to reimburse this rep for the book. Now, again, I want to be very, very clear. I'm of the mindset that, well, that really sucks. So then the follow-up question came, and I said, so you bought the book anyway? The guy said, hell no. If I'm not getting reimbursed, why would I do it? P.S., this guy probably makes, I think he was making 200 grand a year or whatever. I'm saying to myself, well, who's the cheap bastard here? Them, for not investing in you, or you not investing in yourself? And then really the other part of it is, how could you possibly expect anyone to invest in you if you're not willing to invest in yourself? So enough of that. But aside from books, I mean, how about courses? How about taking on a coach? So I think that's important. But here's the other thing that I want you to do. And if you're not driving, I want you to write this one down, because this is one thing in my experience. I've seen a lot of people fail to do this one. Your learning time is very, very important. But the problem is with learning time, we usually do it accidentally. Right? We're perusing some blog posts, or maybe we're on our way somewhere and we put on a podcast. That a lot of you, that's what you're doing right now. You're on your way to an appointment, or it's your drive time, and I'm riding shotgun with you. And that's great. Don't get me wrong. But I want you in the new year to become more intentional about your learning and get it on the calendar. Now, a lot of people say to me, hey, I don't have the time to get it on the calendar. I really think that this is one of those things that we're going to have to put that excuse aside, because it really is an excuse, and you're going to have to find the time. And yes, I get it. You're driving in the car and that's a good time, but you really can't and nor should you be taking notes in the car while you're driving and listening to this. I mean, formal time that you've set aside. Now, how the heck do I do it? Because I really have to be on top of the learning thing, because there's nothing worse than a sales trainer and a sales coach who has gotten stale with his methodology. So one of the things that I like to do, may or may not work for you, is that as far as my formal learning time, time where I get it on the calendar, I like to do it early in the morning, because it just resonates with me early. And also, I find that I feel like $1 million, and there's a motivational end of it. And I'm not saying that I'm listening to necessarily motivational types of people, but what makes it very, very, just really gets me going is this idea that, okay, it's early in the day before a lot of people are even getting up, and I'm doing something to get better at my craft. That, to me, inspires the hell out of me. Again, maybe different with you. So I get that time on the calendar early. For me, again, I don't want to sound like one of these people. You've heard me talk about it. I love all the hustle porn that's out there. Now, many of you who aren't listening, you heard me say porn. I love this porn. No, hustle porn, I'm saying. Make sure you hear me. And it's this whole thing that, hey, I get up every day at 2 a.m. and I'm doing this while you're sleeping. And I don't sleep at all. I'm always 24/7. You know, F my family. I'm working and grinding, right? Because they love to say that shit a lot too. I'm grinding and all that. So, no, I'm not saying that. But for me, I usually like to do my learning early, like between 5 and 6. Sometimes it's not the full hour, sometimes it's a half an hour. But if I can begin my day with that, it just helps me out an awful lot. One little bonus tip: whenever I am listening to a podcast, listening to an audiobook, reading something or whatever, at the end of that, I say to myself, what's one action item that I'm going to take as a result of this? And I look at it almost like the world is my laboratory. My selling efforts is my laboratory. What am I going to experiment with today? What's something that I learned right now during that 5 a.m. to 5:30 or 5 a.m. to 6 o'clock thing? What is one thing that I'm going to take away that I'm going to get out there today and experiment with it? So that keeps me from just consuming a lot of shit, because we do that a lot in sales. I mean, think about how many podcasts you listen to because it's drive time. Are you actually taking action on these things, or am I the entertainment? Because if you're looking for entertainment, why don't you just put on sports radio, or why don't you watch Netflix and binge watch a bunch of things on there? So That's one of the things. But also the other thing that I like to do, and this, again, may not appeal to you, but I will do a little bit of time on the weekend, and sometimes I'll do a little more time. That's when I tend to dig into some of the courses that I'm taking, because a lot of the courses, sometimes that requires about 60 to 90 minutes, so it's a little longer, and then some time for me to work on assignments and work on the assignments that I'm giving and things like that. So when I do those things, I like to do them, again, early, before my family's awake, before they're awake. So this way I'm not cutting into family time. But my all-time favorite is Sunday morning, and I make a whole just event out of it. I like to get up early on Sunday mornings. I go old school with my coffee, by the way. I'm really into my coffee. In fact, I buy the ground Starbucks and I brew it at home. And I usually, because I'm in a hurry, do the whole Keurig thing. But on the weekends, I go old school and I use a percolator, the same one that I'm always taking on all the camping trips I talk to you guys about. So I make a really nice pot of coffee. I sit down. I'm in my recliner chilling out. I have the headphones on. My journal is open and I am in humble student mode. And that's the thing that I want you to think about. Whenever you're installing a new habit, you want to make it something that you just really look forward to. So sometimes you have to bring some other things into the mix. For some of my clients that just struggle a little bit with putting in the extra time, they don't like that formal learning type of stuff. What I tell them is, when the weather's nice, why don't you go by a park? Or why don't you sit out in the backyard? Why don't you fire up the fire pit? Why don't you, again, brew that pot of coffee and just, you know, have that special time. Make it something that you genuinely look forward to. But all ranting aside, your biggest takeaway from what I just said is to make sure that you get it on the calendar. Because again, until it's on the calendar, until we have an action plan, you really do need to say amen, because it's a prayer. You're hoping that these things will take care of itself. Now, the thing that might be misleading you a little bit, and we're all guilty of it in sales, is that many of us are good at doing these things more intuitively than formally. What I'm inviting you to do, what I'm really challenging you to do, is to not just do it intuitively, to make it a priority where it's on the calendar, much in the same spirit of going to see a client. You put that on the calendar. You have an appointment with a potential client. It's on the calendar. And it also tells your brain that you are really serious about doing this. So the other thing that you need to do as far as action plans, coming up with plans, that's what we're talking about this week. You also have to think about activities. So the first thing we talked about was skill development. That's a big part of having the necessary tools in place to hit your goals. Sounds like I'm getting emotional, but actually I'm fighting a cough, so I'm going to pause this for a second. You're welcome. I just spared you some serious coughing in your ear. So the other thing that we have to talk about now are the activities. So a few things that I want to go into, and some of these are Paulisms, things that I've talked about before, things that I'm actually being kind there, things that I've repeated the shit out of. So right now I'm going to repeat the shit out of them some more. So the first thing is, when it comes to activities, the way that I teach activities to my coaching clients, and to you guys too, is I refer to it as the three drivers of sales success. There are three things that we have to be obsessed with to obtain that those high levels of sales success. Number one, new, and it will vary according to role, but you guys will get the gist of this whole thing. Number one is new account acquisition. Number two, the second driver of sales success, is retaining and wowing. That's all under the same number two that we're talking about. So retaining those accounts and ultimately wowing them. And the third driver is account development, growing that business. So the best way for you to remember this is everything that we're doing needs, we have to be obsessed with the fact that it's either getting us a new account, helping us to keep an account, growing an account. All right, so that's what we want to do. So now we want to think about that. And the other thing now that we want to think about in terms of the activities that are necessary in order to hit that is having, I call it an 11:30 plan. I want you to write down, hopefully you're not driving, but if you are, maybe you pull over the car for this because it's kind of important and I believe it's going to help you out just a lot. And it's something we haven't talked about in a long time here. It's something we talk about all the time. And it's called your 11:30 plan. If you write down, almost as if you were writing down 11:30 at night or 11:30 a.m. or whatever it is. So I want you to write it down, 11:30. Each one of those numbers stand for something that you have to have a plan for. So the first number is the number one in that 11:30 plan. You need to think about, what is my daily plan that I'm going to have to bring these goals to fruition? What are the activities that I need to be doing? And yes, there's going to be prospecting activities. And going back to those three drivers, there's going to be activities, or there should be, to get accounts. There should be activities in there to keep and hopefully, you know, wow those accounts. There should be activities in there that are going to help you grow those accounts. And you need to give thought to that. Are these things that you're going to do every day? Or as we go on through the other numbers, is it going to be on that kind of frequency? The other thing that you should think about doing on a daily basis, And I kind of think there's a part A and B to this. We talked about a few weeks ago the story about when the authors of Chicken Soup for the Soul set the goal after they had been rejected 148 times, I believe it was. After they had been rejected 148 times, they said, okay, you know, whatever, the past is the past. Our new goal is to get a best-selling book, which I give them just so much credit for having the balls to do that. Most of us would tap out and say, I think this is as good as it gets. Thank God I have somebody finally agreed to publish my book. Maybe it sucks after all, and I'm the only one who doesn't get it, but we've got somebody who's willing to publish that book. Let me leave well enough alone. Nope. They just went for the gold and said, screw this, we want a best-selling book. So what they decided to do was each and every day have five actions that they would take that would get them closer and closer to getting that bestseller. So each and every day they had those five actions and they made sure they did it. Now, what I've done in the meantime is I've watered that down a little bit, because I used to teach this about 10 years ago, and I'll never forget, I was working in a corporate training role at that point for a $1 billion printing company, and I found that everyone, including myself, would start off with lots of piss and vinegar and then very quickly start avoiding it because five a day was way too much. And by the way, that should resonate with you. Because what I just described right there is pretty much everybody's New Year's resolutions, everybody's New Year's goals. We come out of the gate, it's going to be the best year ever, we're going to kick ass, yay, and it just fizzles the hell out very quickly. What I'd rather do is I would rather run a bit of a marathon here. Now, when I say run a marathon, I don't mean like, okay, we'll get around to it when we get around to it. No, I'm saying that five might be a bit much. What I always tell people, look at it like one a day. So the advice I gave you guys a few weeks ago when it came to your, I think it was last week when we talked about improving your skills, when you do that little checklist thing that I talked about before, and you look in the mirror about where you need to improve. Well, why don't you take one item every day that you're going to do something to get better in those areas? So that is the skill part, part A. But I really believe there should be a part B. Part B would be as far as maybe there's something with activities. Now, I don't mean your typical activities that you do. And when I mean typical activities, well, your prospecting and the emailing that you have to do, your account visits, that's stuff that you need to be doing anyway. I'm talking about above and beyond stuff where you're thinking about your business and you're saying, hey, you know what? What I think I'm going to do today is I'm going to try something creative with the ABC company. I'm going to try to get in the door by doing something completely out of the box and off script. That kind of stuff. But if every single day you have something like that, that's above and beyond, I want you to run the math on that. I mean, every single month, if we're just going on what, 20 work days a month on average, I mean, some months have more, but at least 20 work days a month. Well, that's 20 more things that you did above and beyond your basic activity levels. But now you run it out by the end of the year and you're doing 20 a month. So what is that? Like 240 a year? That's the kind of shit that adds up. And that's the way I want you to be thinking about it. So that's one of the things that you might want to do. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some stuff that I do with my activities. So one thing, I'm just going to touch on it quickly because I want to actually do a full podcast on this. Again, it's a topic I talked about years ago on the podcast, and I really haven't talked enough about it lately. But I'm a big advocate of thinking time. I like it every day. And the thinking time could be any way you want to do it. I know some people who say they do it in the car. I really don't think it should be done in the car because, again, I want you to be able to write shit down, because having that visual element with your thinking helps a lot, helps crystallize your thoughts, writing these things down. I like to put my thinking time and document it in a journal. So this way I've marked my path to success. case I ever have to replicate it, or if things aren't going the way that they should, I can kind of go back and see the path that I've been traveling, and I can modify it going forward. And also, the reason why I do it that way is that I always think, not because I'm a sales trainer, I did this long before I was a sales trainer, I always think, what if someday I have a teammate that would benefit from this plan, and I need to teach it to them? Going back and pulling those notes and being able to tell them how I did something step by step, I think is pretty important. So every day, I try to have a little bit of thinking time. And again, I make it fun, like that Sunday morning thing. When the weather's nice out here, I love to sit in the backyard after dinner. I'm a big cigar smoker, and I'll sit outside, have a cigar, sometimes an adult beverage. This time of year, until it gets really, really cold, many times I'll just make a nice little campfire, sit out in the backyard. But when it gets really, really cold, right up here in my office slash man cave, I'll sit up here and think about certain things that I need to be doing. And I think about activities that are going to move me closer to the goals that I've set for the year. So if I'm looking at certain revenue goals and I'm breaking down the activities, I'm starting to think many times by account, okay, I've got this ABC account that has been with me for a while. How am I going to grow that account? What are some things that I could do there? Is there something creative that I can do? Is there a conversation that I need to have? Is there another division that I really haven't been getting a lot of success getting into it? Are there referrals there? Is there an intro that I can work there? Are there any politics within that account that I need to maybe navigate through a little bit better? You guys get the idea, but I think about very specific accounts that I'm trying to get in front of, and that I'm trying to, ones that I'm already doing business with, how can I bring it to the next level? I'm even thinking in terms of people within those accounts. So I'll make up a name. Let's say it's Jane at the ABC company. How can I make Jane look like a rock star? I mean, we've all heard that whole thing. I mean, when you help other people to get to where they need to go, usually by design, if you've helped them and you're in a sales role, that usually comes back to you. Now, I'm not saying that we're sitting there keeping a scorecard. Hey, Jane, I did A, B, and C for you. How about a little something for the effort? No. What I'm saying is that many times there are things that they want that I can give them through my services here. And yes, things that sometimes I'm not going to get paid for. But my whole goal is to make them a success. And you know what? I really do believe, and I've seen that it comes back to you. Sometimes in the amount of business that they give you, many times in the form of loyalty. And I found that the amount of referrals that I get is just, you know, off the charts because of the fact that I'm willing to go above and beyond for my clients. So something to think about right there. So that's what I do. I have that thinking time. But the other thing that I do, and it's kind of old school, but I really believe that old school sometimes is the best. What I do is I keep a spiral notebook. And for the spiral notebook, what I do is I write my action items that I'm going to do for the day. Let's do a quick timeout. You might be thinking, okay, Paul, you're really showing your age. Yes, it's nice that you acknowledged that it's old school, but it doesn't get you off the hook for the fact that there are apps and shit that do that. Well, I don't want that because, first of all, when I physically write something, it takes me longer than typing it. I want that extra time in thinking about what I'm doing. It causes me to be a little more intentional than when I type. I type way faster than I write. Also, the act of checking an item off, putting a check mark, putting a line through it. Sometimes I even get cute and write, you know, done and done, that kind of stuff. The act of doing that, and I might be screwing this up, but it releases, I believe it's endorphins, and I think it's endorphins that gives you that runner's high. I always confuse that with something else. But the point, and the only thing that you need to know here, is that it makes you feel really effing good when you do it. And when you associate getting shit done to feeling really effing good, guess what? You ready? This is why I make the big bucks. You'll do more of the stuff. And that's what we want. We don't want to go into the new year doing stuff and feeling good for that 1 to 2 or maybe 3 weeks and then going right back to the same old shit, different year. I want you getting new habits that have you saying, I can't wait to do this stuff. So that's one thing that you could do. The other thing, when you write stuff down in the notebook, it's an insurance policy, because there's going to be times when you're going to feel like you're not making any progress. You go back and you're going to look at your activities. Now, you might be thinking, I could go right into Salesforce and do that, but you're not logging everything into Salesforce. Yes, you're logging conversations and you're logging cold calls and emails and stuff like that. But what about other things that you're doing in general? You're not doing that. So it might be things like that you need to do to get better at a skill or whatever. I want it all written down. And every day having those goals to get you to the bigger goal, having those tasks. So what I can do if I'm not making progress, I can do two things. Number one, I can take on the form of my 8th grade math teacher. And I don't know about you guys. Well, first of all, I've said it before, I'll say it again. I completely sucked in math. Seriously, I did. I was terrible at math. And I hated it on top of it. Let's be completely honest. And what the math teachers always did back then is they would have you hand in your scrap paper, mostly for people like me who would write stuff down that didn't make any sense. And then they could kind of get an idea of what I was thinking or what you were thinking and try to deconstruct my stupidity, if there's such a thing, right? So, and many of them quit mathematics shortly thereafter. But seriously, you can see what you're focusing on and see if you're focusing on the right thing. So there are two parts to writing it down in this part of the discussion. Number one, I think there are times where you're not giving yourself enough credit. So imagine if you thumbed through a bunch of pages that had 10 action items on there, you know, every day or whatever, or, you know, and I'm not talking about that one a day thing we were talking about before. I'm talking about in the course of a day, it's pretty typical that you would have at least 10 to-dos that you need to do. So imagine you've logged all those, and now you thumb through pages and pages and pages and pages of 10 a day, 5 a day, plus that one a day thing we were talking about. At that point, I think you should be sitting up a little taller in your seat, because then you could say, okay, well, I'm doing the activities. Then you can have part two of the thinking process kick in. Am I doing the right shit? Because doing the wrong activity, in a way, is just as bad as doing no activity. So it will help you there. So that's something that I want you to think about. The other thing, right? Let's move on to this. I call it the war room approach. This isn't for everybody, the war room approach. I realize that there are basically two types of offices. If you're lucky enough to have an office instead of a cubicle, I believe that there are two types of offices. There are the offices where people are going to be coming to see you, so you need it all nice and pretty and organized and nice furniture in there. And then there is the kind of office that I have here at Casting Training. I don't mean a shithole, right? I mean one where it is a war room instead of a showroom. A war room. In my office, I have whiteboards up. And what I recommend that you do with the whiteboard, and by the way, you could do this with a cubicle too. You could have a smaller version of this. But I have two whiteboards up going across this one wall. And each one of the whiteboards is, I'm guessing, about 4 feet by 4 feet. I mean, it's a small wall that I have here that I'm looking at. I almost wallpapered the wall in these things when you put two of them side by side. Side note, what I did with these whiteboards is I didn't buy the ones that are all framed and pretty and everything, because again, I'm not going for pretty here. I'm going for something that's practical, and it's a war room. Nobody's coming up here. So I bought, it's just basically, it's a whiteboard with no frame on it. And the back, you could actually, it's a sticky substrate so that you could actually stick it to the wall. I'm not doing that because my wife will beat the shit out of me if she sees that I do that. So I bought that because it's more flexible, I found, and I just tack it up to the wall. So if any of you know my wife, don't even tell her that I have this up here. She stays away from the man cave. I don't need any trouble on that front. But anyway, so what I do in terms, or what I recommend for you to do too, with the whiteboard, is I put things that I need to be focused on. So there might be certain activities that I want to put up there, certain results as I go along, right? Ideas that I need to implement. Sometimes I'll be sitting there, and again, I'm having very quick, informal thinking time. Sometimes I'll put it just right up on the whiteboard because I'm working off that whiteboard a lot more than I am working out of the journal. So when it's up on the whiteboard, that's shit I need to do and I need to experiment with. Sometimes what you can do too, and I find this helps, if you put up a question that you want to focus on, it helps. Questions, by the way, are a great way to get your brain to focus on things. So what I always teach my clients to do is use a fill-in-the-blank question. In what ways can I? So let's just say you wanted to get better at time management. In what ways can I get better at managing my time? Let's say you want to get into the ABC company that isn't giving you the time of day. In what ways can I get the attention of Bob Jones at the ABC company? You guys get the idea. But questions tend to put our focus where they need to be. Also, too, and this one's kind of cool, I think, and it's one of the latest things I'm working on. Right about this time of year, I don't know if you guys have come across it online, a lot of people talk about it, and I think there's a different way they describe it, so I'm probably butchering it, but it's these three words that people are going to focus on. Here are my three words for 2020. At the beginning of this year, people are probably saying, here are my three words for 2019. Again, what I find sometimes is when I have to do a lot more effort on something, it's not that I'm lazy, but I just tend to blow it off. So what I like to do is break things down to the simplest thing. I also don't want to focus on three words going into the new year. Not to be a bit of a dick here, but I just, my focus is all over the place as it is, and I have a lot of other things. I don't need three words when one would have sufficed. I'd rather do one very, very well than three where I'm kind of dabbling. I want some really, really good focus. So my suggestion is, first of all, going into the year, you might want to have one word that you're going to focus on. My word, by the way, that I'm going to focus on, and I'll explain why in a minute, it doesn't have to be your word, this, remember, is my word, is inquisitive. I want to be more inquisitive. First of all, yes, in my needs analysis, I want to be even more inquisitive, but mostly, I've been very good, I think, on this whole humble student thing that I try to preach here. But there's an area where I want to get better. I meet a lot of people, and I really want to become more inquisitive at learning different things that they're doing, not from in the context of being a coach and helping them, right? That's certainly a part of it, but more from the context of what can I learn from this person? And it's something that I was a lot better at years ago, and I've gotten away from it. I want to get back to it. So what you can do with the one word thing, it could be your one word for the year, and you could put that on your whiteboard. You could even, as you plan each week or each month, just look at, again, where, you know, what do I have coming up? What are the skills that I have to really be able to rock in order to keep myself moving forward? And you know what? For this week, my focal word is going to be this word. And you write that on your whiteboard. Heck, you might have the week from hell coming up where you're going to be in some difficult meetings where you have to have difficult conversations. So maybe you write, it doesn't have to necessarily be one word. It could be a phrase. It could be have a thicker skin. Right? That kind of thing. So it could be empathy, because before stating your case, you might want to really understand their perspective and really, you know, feel for them. So you get the idea here. So that's something that I want you to think about as well. But the war room approach can really, really help you as far as those whiteboards or even a smaller whiteboard. I find that having those things front and center, yeah, it's kind of contradicting what I said with the law of attraction, but part of what makes the law of attraction work is that when you're focused on something, you're continually putting it out there and you're bumping into that goal or those action items or that question or that one word to keep you on track and focus on the thing that you want to get better at, well, then you just kind of naturally start going in that direction. So having that up on my whiteboard, I find that throughout the day when I'm sitting in my chair and these things are staring at me, my brain is kind of running a background program and getting me answers to some of those things and having me think about it. Or maybe I'm taking a break between outbound calls and I'm looking at that whiteboard and I'm like, oh my gosh, I just got a great idea. So highly recommend that you do it. And on that, I mean, there you have it, folks. Again, we're not specializing here in some complex type of game plan for you. I find that complex things, while sexy and really elaborate, many times people don't do them because they're too elaborate. I want things that are so simple that you'd almost have to smack yourself and say, what is wrong with you, dude? I mean, yeah, Castain asked you to do the equivalent of tying your shoes and you didn't do it. I want simple things because if I can specialize in simple, easy to do tasks, yes, stretch yourself by all means. But if I'm taking those action steps every single day, man, when we get to this time next year, if we've been doing these things we talked about here, there will be just a quantum leap of a difference between where you are now and where you will be then. So what I want to do very, very quickly, I said this is brought to you by our coaching program. The first thing that I just want to recommend to you, some of you haven't pulled the trigger on hiring me as your sales coach because for some of you, it's a financial thing, and I get that. I want to let you know that I actually just put out a blog post today on how you could actually get like financing for a coaching program or a course, not necessarily even just with me, but just in general. If you want me to send you a copy or the link to that blog post, shoot me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. But very, very quickly, I want to give you a quick overview of my coaching program because it may or may not be for you, but at least I want you to know, you know, the facts so you can make an informed decision because we're right up on that time of year where people start seriously thinking, all right, do I want a coach to help me get there a little bit quicker, have that accountability? Let me take you through what a typical session would be in my coaching program. First of all, it's one-on-one. You're not going to be in with a group of 50 other people on a conference call. It's me and you. There are a lot of coaches out there that follow the typical coaching model. I'm not one of them. And what I mean by the typical coaching model is that they ask you lots and lots of questions and hopefully lead you on a path of self-discovery. Asking good questions is very important, whether you're selling or you're coaching, if you're leading, I get it. But usually by the time people hire me, they also need some answers and they don't want somebody kind of sitting on their ass asking questions. And that's an awesome session. Just sit back. I'll do no work. I'll just ask you shit for 45 minutes. I think you also need some answers. So the way these sessions are going to be structured, they're about 45 minutes. We meet every 2 weeks, and we're always going to start with an update from you. What are you working on? What's challenging you? What are some of the opportunities that you're in front of? And then what we're going to do is we're going to make a decision after you give me the update. And you're, in fact, part of the update is on the action items that we agreed upon from the last session. So you have instant accountability. There's no hiding in the back of the classroom like we did in school. You've got somebody there who's holding you accountable. And it's very important that you know how I hold you accountable. That's not a license for me to be a dick and for me to be disrespectful to you. But I'm also not the guy that's going to tell you it's okay and that's going to be intimidated by the fact that you're going to pull your business and go to somebody else because I actually called you out on not doing your homework. You're going to get tough love from me. If that's not for you, stop listening now, man, and just go about your day. But I'm not the guy that's going to give you hugs and tell you it's going to be okay. But I'm not going to have you feeling so sick to your stomach every time you have a coaching call with me that we're not making any progress. So, you know, that's how I do it. I refuse to treat adults like children. The other thing that we're going to do after that point is that we're going to make a decision. Either we're going to work on something that's challenging you, or maybe an opportunity where you need to kick around with me, or if you don't, then what we're going to do is we're going to work on a lesson, a customized lesson that I've prepared for you based on what we flagged as areas that we need to work on. Sometimes we could even do both. We could do a little bit of what is challenging you or an opportunity you're working on, and we can get to a lesson that I've prepared for you. Now, at the end of the 45 minutes together, at the end of the session, I'm going to ask you for, what do you think? You know, we just hung out 45 minutes together. What are the action items that you're going to do over the next 2 weeks? Again, you're an adult. You know what your next 2 weeks is going to look like. You tell me. Now, what I'm going to do at that point is I'm going to either tell you, hey, listen, you know, we're kind of babying this a little bit, and you're going really light. I mean, you basically told me here you're basically going to get up out of bed and have a cup of coffee for the next 2 weeks. I mean, we got to work a little here too. But I'm also going to give you the other side of it. If I see that you're doing something that is just, again, almost like say amen at the end of it, that it's just too aggressive, I'm going to say, hey, maybe we ought to scale it back a little. Maybe we're going just a little bit too intense. I need you to do it consistently rather than have two or three good days over the next 2 weeks, and then you just go back to what you're doing. I'd rather you doing something every day, and it was maybe a little lighter than going overly aggressive and quitting 3 days into it. So we're going to do that. But now here's where the magic kicks in. What we're going to do is a week after the session ends, I'm going to ask you for an update. So you're going to email me an update. It could be as brief or as lengthy as you want. My promise to you is I'm going to read every word either way. And the reason why I want that update from you is that you don't do the shit that I did when I was in college, which was wait to the night before to do your homework. So if you know you have to face me 1 week later, you're going to have something to report. Because if you don't, then that's where you're going to get some of that tough love. Hey, man, look, it's your money, but it's a week later. What did you do? So you'll get that from me. But also, the other reason why we have it in place is because I don't want you to ever feel that I'm only going to be a coach to you when the meter is running. So wouldn't it be nice if you're able a week later to get some feedback instead of waiting a full 2 weeks? So this way, you know, we can correct the course a little bit or give you some feedback, give you some advice, give you some resources. And then last but not least, what we do is I'm available to you almost like a help desk. So there's email support, meaning if you have any questions, you email it to me. If you want me to eyeball an email that you're thinking about sending, send it along to me. I'll be happy to give you some feedback. But again, you don't have to wait the full 2 weeks to get that kind of support. So really what this program is, it's almost like having access to a full-time sales trainer without paying for a full-time sales trainer. So if you'd like to set up, this is kind of a little offer that I have for you, a free call to discuss your challenges, your opportunities, and just kind of kick around if my coaching program is right for you. What I want you to do is send me an email, paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. What I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a free 30-minute call. Again, we're going to look at your challenges, your opportunities, and we're going to make a decision if my coaching program is right for you. And notice what I did there. I want to be very clear. You see the level of honesty? I'm not saying, hey, I'm going to give you this free shit and I'm not going to sell. Now, I'm not going to be an ass about it and give you some hardcore sales pitch, but I want to be clear that, yes, I want to help. Yes, I want to see what you're up against, but I also want to see if this is something that we can work together, and we'll certainly be able to make an informed decision at the end of that call that we can maybe step back and think about a little more. So again, you want more info? You want to set up that free call? paul@yoursalesplaybook.com. With that, I am Paul from yoursalesplaybook.com. I am wishing you an incredible week ahead. Go get them. The Sales Playbook Podcast is a Castain Training Systems production.